has taught me as we've been preaching through the book of Acts. And here in this chapter, of course, the tyrant's persecution against the church and what God does and the way God works. And, you know, as persecution's brought against the church, I'm reminded again and again, the Bible says, upon this rock, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And persecution against the church, the word of God is multiplied and Christ is exalted. And as God brings judgment against the evil tyrant, we preached last time about the death of King Herod, and the word of God grew and multiplied. And again, I hear so often people want to say, as they reflect on current social issues and they want, I want to be on the right side of history. And usually they say that they're jumping to the wrong side of history. But I've read the book of Revelations and I know who wins in the end. And boy, it's good to be on the right side of history, his story. And to be a part of his church and his kingdom. Just one verse we're going to look at tonight, verse 25. Verse 25. Acts chapter 12, verse 25, the Bible says, would you read it with me? And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. They took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And what were... Saul and Barnabas doing in Jerusalem, and what was their ministry? The Bible points out to us. We're going to learn a little bit about that and make application to ourselves and to our ministry. And hopefully, by the end of the service, or at least after reflection upon the service and making some changes, you'd be able to answer that question. What is my ministry? What is my ministry? Let's pray together. Father, how good it is to be in your house with these, your people. And Father, I pray that you would impress upon us a deeper and a greater understanding of our place in the kingdom of God. And Father, you have called us to be a part, a functional part of the body. Father, as you have created our physical body so wonderful and fearfully and wonderfully, Father, we understand that there are not parts of our body that don't have function, that are vestigial. Father, you have placed each one of us in the church for a purpose, to accomplish a ministry. And Father, I pray that you would help us to find our ministry, to know our ministry, to live for our ministry, to live to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. And amen. Paul and Barnabas returned from Jerusalem. Well, the reason Paul and Barnabas are in Jerusalem we find in the closing verses of Acts chapter 11. We preached from that passage about what is a Christian. We looked at that. So let's flip back to Acts chapter 11. Let's dig in a little bit and find out what Paul and Barnabas have been up to. In Acts chapter 11, in verse 27, the Bible says this. In those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So in Antioch, where Paul was brought and where he met with these Christians, the Bible says, for a whole year they assembled themselves together. And the church was blessed of God. These disciples were first called Christians there in Antioch. Some men come with the gift of prophecy to the church there, and they speak of a coming dearth. And the church in Antioch, out of great love and compassion for their brothers and sisters in Christ, take up a collection. The Bible tells us that all of them participated. They didn't give the same, but they all made sacrifice. And as they had ability, they sent relief to their brethren, which were in Judea. And this, the Bible says, they did by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So Barnabas and Saul are to make that some 300-mile trek from Antioch down to Jerusalem with the relief. And certainly a rather dangerous job, they traveling on those roads with such a large amount of money on their persons. But this they did and accomplished, no doubt, successfully as they take the relief to Jerusalem. So they're there, and we studied through the rest of chapter 12, the persecution, the execution of James, and the arrest of Peter, and the Herod plan to have him slain at the hands of a Jewish mob. And now, Saul and Barnabas were in Jerusalem for some or all of that. Now they have made that trip back, and the Bible tells us they fulfilled their ministry. They've been given a task, and that task is to minister to brothers and sisters in the church, and they faithfully complete that task. You know, as I look around, I see people, and so many people, even Christians, are living life unintentionally. You know, they let life determine their circumstances. They let life determine their priorities. And what the Bible is pointing out to us here is that our lives as disciples of Christ is to be marked by ministry. God has called you to ministry. God has called you. And we're going to see that here in just a bit. Too much weight has been put on the fact that the pastor is the minister. And certainly the Bible uses that term and that phraseology, and they're called to be ministers as preachers of the gospel. Paul says as much, a minister of the gospel. But the typical mindset is that the pastor is the minister, or the deacons, they're the servants. They're the word ministry coming from that word diakonos or diakona, and that idea there of service, that they have the work. It's their responsibility. They've been given the title. It's their job. I can just sit back and, well, do little to nothing. Ministry is about serving others. You know, we learn that from this passage here. They take a collection to saints that are in need, or that because of a potential need, a need that is coming. And they ministry, as we involve ourselves and busy ourselves, as we think about ministry, we must think of it in that context that we are serving others. You know, another thing we notice about ministry from this passage is that it involves sacrifice. There in chapter 11, we read of these Christians there at the church in Antioch giving and giving sacrificially, each according to his ability. And I want to remind us, even on the outset of the message tonight, that we're not going to minister to others without it costing us something. It's going to cost us our time. It's going to cost us money. It's going to cost us effort and energy and use of our talents. We are going to spend ourselves for the cause of serving others, if we are going to be a minister. You know, ministry may involve spiritual gifts. You know, we read here about these men, these prophets who came from Jerusalem, and specifically about Agabus, that made this prophecy of the coming dearth that would come throughout the land. And we read in the New Testament, we learn that one of the gifts that God gave to these believers is the gift of prophecy. And of course, the Christians that gave another gift that God gives believers is the gift of giving. And we find Saul and Barnabas there making that trek. And I don't know necessarily that making a trip and traveling some 300 miles to deliver this collection, this offering, requires any specific spiritual gift that we find mentioned in Scripture. But they made themselves available to serve others and to serve in the needs of the church. You know, ministry should be done because of a love for others. You know, I love that the new commandment. You know, the new commandment, Jesus said, I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you. And certainly, we're not going to minister to others, and we're not going to meet needs, and we're not going to serve others if we don't do it out of a spirit of love. And Paul reminds us of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as he says, I can use the gifts that God has given me, and I can minister so eloquently, but if it's not done in love, it's just a sounding brass. And I can make great sacrifice, but if I don't do it out of love, it profiteth me nothing. It must be done out of love. You know, another thing we see out of this ministry, it can be done as paid or as volunteer. You know, I have no doubt that as Saul and Barnabas were given this task of carrying the money, they were also given some resources to make the trip and some travel expenses to purchase food along the way. And I have no doubt sustained for the trip that they made. And yet others gave sacrificially in and of themselves. And so we see that ministry can be done in the context of a position or a paid position, or it can also be done on a voluntary basis. But another thing I want to point out about ministry is that it never ends. You know, the Bible says here in verse 25, they fulfilled their ministry. Well, they're done, right? Well, no, because we find them in chapter 13 and verse 2 ministering again. Look at chapter 13 and verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. No doubt there will be times in our life that a specific ministry or something specific that we have done will come to an end. But God will open other doors if we are willing to serve and we want to work for our Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no shortage of opportunities to ministry. And they involve themselves in new types of ministry. You know, as we think about ministry, one of the most remarkable verses we find in the book of Matthew. I want to take just a minute. I want to run through the book of Matthew, looking at various references to this word ministry and minister. We find it first mentioned in Matthew chapter 4. So turn there with me, would you please? Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. In this passage, we find Jesus, having fasted for 40 days, he is now being tempted of the adversary. But unique to the Gospel of Matthew, we find verse 11. We don't find this passage referenced or this idea mentioned in any of the other Gospels. Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and, say it with me, ministered unto him. You know, Jesus himself is the one we're going to look at in a little bit that said, I've not come to be ministered unto. But you know, even those who give their life to serve others will at times need to be ministered to. And the Bible says these angels, these ministering spirits came to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ as he had gone 40 days without food and there was tempted of Satan. The angels came and ministered to him. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. In this passage, we find Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. The only this context is the only reference we have to Peter's family. But verse 14, the Bible says this. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose, what? And ministered unto them. Well, I love that. I love that passage. There, she is sick. She's laid up. Though she wants to, no doubt, greatly wants to, she herself is in need of being ministered unto. But yet, as soon as the Lord comes and as soon as the Lord touches her body and makes her well, she hops up and she immediately begins to minister to them. And the Bible doesn't say this specifically, but I have no doubt she made her way to the kitchen and started preparing food for Jesus and for the rest of the disciples. Such a heart of ministry that she had to serve and to love and to give of herself. The next reference we find in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. In this passage, James and John their mother actually began this little discussion and contention among the disciples, and that is that they would get to sit on the right hand and the left hand of Christ when He established His kingdom. And the Bible tells us, look in verse 24. Verse 24, "When the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. And Jesus called them unto Him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. They that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Read verse 28 with me, please. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." You know, I love that verse. "I came," Jesus said, "not so that people could serve me, not so that I could be great and have many servants. No, I came to serve others. I came to give of myself." And all through Jesus' ministry, we find Him serving others. We find Him speaking to people and going to dinner and to eating with them and making Himself available for them to talk to and to ask their questions. We find Jesus healing their sick and we find Him even feeding the multitudes and blessing the children and of course ultimately, as Jesus mentioned here, giving His life so that mankind could have salvation. But His entire life was marked with ministry. And Jesus said, "That's my purpose. That's why I came. I came to minister to others." And Jesus, of course, making the point to His disciples that you also must have that ministry mindset. You must also not seek to be ministered unto, to seek that position, that title, and have others serve you, to have staff and people at your beck and call. No. Your job is to serve and minister in the name of Christ. The next passage we find is in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. In the Olivet Discourse, Jesus spoke about the judgment of the nations. Matthew chapter 25, in verse 31, the Bible says this, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from the other, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink?" Jump down to verse 40. "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, My brethren, ye have done it unto Me." Look at verse 41. "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, ye took Me not in. I was naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick and in prison, ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, and in prison, and did not," here it is, "minister unto thee?" Verse 45, "Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Well, you can't help but read that and think ministry is pretty important, isn't it? You know, the judgment of people who live, what as our culture would say, good, but very selfish and self-centered lives. Their judgment is that they did not, what? Minister. You know, Jesus, we would have if we would have known, Jesus said, but we didn't know it was you. And Jesus said it was all around you. The needs were everywhere. There were people hurting, people in need. And all you had to do was open your eyes. All you had to do was look around you. All you had to do was, you know, stop loving yourself and living that self-centered American dream long enough to see those that are in need around you. We find this word minister again, the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse 55. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has died. The Bible tells us in verse 55, and many women which were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, read those next three words, ministering unto Him. You know, as I think about the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, we find in several occasions, Luke chapter 8, another occasion, we find people that are ministering to Him so that He can minister to others. You know, and as Christians, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we you know, here we have a group of women that made it their ministry to minister to the ministers. And that truly is what God has called us to do, to serve and to minister. As we take this idea of ministry and examine it tonight and answer the question. You know, Paul and Barnabas, they had their ministry. What is my ministry? What is my ministry? I want you to think about your ministry in a fourfold way, a fourfold ministry. First of all, I want you to see a ministry to your family. A ministry to your family. Now, I'll be real honest with you. I don't often think of my job as dad as a ministry in the context of my home. Well, let me ask you something. Should I? You know, I'm serving others. Mom, you're a minister to your children. Dad, you're a minister as well. You know, honestly, I think if we could develop this ministry mindset and we could see ourselves as ministers of Christ in each facet of our life and each of the different areas of our life and relationships that we have, it would certainly help us to live for Christ and bring glory to God. You know, having this mindset of ministry, I believe would help. You know, help as we try to deal with some of the demands that are placed upon us. You know, I mean, you know, being a parent, you know, I talk to people and I tell people about my family and the size of my family and the ages of my children. They're aghast and they're very familiar with the frustrations that come with having children and having little ones and we deal with so many frustrations. But I think if we had a ministry mindset, it would help us deal with those frustrations. You know, a lot of times we think of it as, you know, teamwork. We've got to get this done. And we've all got to work together. And we've all got to pull together. And then little Johnny comes in from outside and he doesn't take his shoes off and he tracks mud through the house. And, you know, and the frustration comes, ladies, because little Johnny didn't do his part. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And we find ourselves frustrated and burdened. But if we can see our role as ministry, it's not teamwork. Now, again, I want to remind us, it's not about us doing all the work and serving our children and our children continually make demands of us and we're at that beck and call. No. We're to teach them to be servants as well. We're to teach them to be ministers as well. Okay. But we need to have a ministry mindset. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, so minister the same grace, so minister the same one to another. You know, it's important we understand that. We are all in the context of our home. We're all to see ourselves as servants. You know, and when, you know, we're, when we see ourselves as servants, we're not always keeping score about who did what last and whose turn it is, and making sure that everything is always so balanced and so fair. No, we're ready to jump in and we're ready to serve because we minister. As every man hath received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another. You know, children need to be taught this concept of ministry. You know why you would have to tell your son, five times to take the trash out? Because he doesn't understand the concept of ministry. When they have to be repeatedly told they're not serving, they're not ministering in the context of the home. They need to be taught. They're to serve and they're to have a place and serve in the context of family. You know, children when they're little, they're born with this idea. Mom exists to serve me. I cry and she gives me a bottle and I cry again and she gives me food and I cry again. She changes my diaper and children, have to be taught that they're not kings demanding service, but they are servants themselves. They are ministers in the context of the home. You know, I think one thing that would help our marriage to see ministry in marriage. Ministering grace one to the other. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, one of the things that couples that make their way into my office struggle with is this communication. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may," say it with me, "minister grace." Minister grace unto the hearers. Boy, as a minister, you get to, your spouse is having a bad day. You know, he's had a bad day at work and he comes home edgy. You have the opportunity to be a minister. You know, if we don't have that ministry mindset, when they speak sharply, we're not going to want to turn the other cheek. We're going to want eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth and sharp word for a sharp word. And we're not going to minister grace in the context of the relationship. You see, but if we can see marriage as ministry, ministering that grace, ministering to your parents. You know, one thing that I see that grieves me is parents become a burden. And instead of serving them, instead of ministering to them, they put them in an assisted living facility, letting other people to care for them, missing an opportunity to get to minister in the context of family. You know, for us, it's been involvement in foster care and bringing the children in our home, doing respite at times and ministering to these children. You know, grandparents can have a grandparent ministry. You know, I've had many people tell me how lucky I am to have the parents that I do. Parents that are so involved. And listen, it's not luck. My parents have a ministry mindset. And, the caseworkers that come to our house, they're blown away. I mean, the baby's been in our house for just a few days. And there's already a handcrafted quilt with the child's name on it on the wall over the crib. The bibs and the pajamas and all the things that my mother makes. And every month my parents are at a different son's house. And one of the first things my dad does is he approaches the daughter-in-law, says, "Give me the honey-do list." And then for as long as they're there, he busies himself getting things done, fixing and repairing things around the house. A ministry, just wanting to serve in the context of the home and of the family. So our first ministry needs to be ministry inside the home, ministry to our own family. You know, the second thing I want to say is we need to see our job as a ministry. We need to see our job. You know, it'd be a whole lot easier to get up and go to work if you saw your job as a ministry. Now, if you're working in a factory on an assembly line, it might be a little challenging to see, inspecting welds or something like that as a ministry. But you see, ministry is about people. And, you don't just put in your time. You know, if your job is a ministry, people and serving others is a priority, you're doing, as Peter reminds us, you're doing the will of God from the heart. It's not just about showing up and putting in your time and getting a paycheck. You know, ministry is about people. That means before work or on lunch break, you're trying to minister to others and you're trying to nurture some relationships where you can give people gospel in that context. Yeah, but Pastor, they won't let me witness on the job. Okay, but do they have a policy against ministering to them, against showing them love and compassion? You know, listen, if you show somebody love and compassion in time, God will open the door. We've got to minister and serve by faith. And, you know, my wife and I have bred dogs for years. We're doing a lot less of that these days. But you know, one of the things we did was to try to mentor other breeders and other Christians that had an interest of a home-based business and also for us giving dogs away. And even at times, just trying to be a blessing and serving others. See, to use our job as a ministry. By the way, young people, let me say this. If you cannot perform that job as a ministry, don't even consider it for a career. You know, okay, being a professional athlete is not a ministry. Okay, you know, I can say for a fact, Christians should not seek, okay, that career path, being a professional video gamer. Not a ministry. You know, some kind of a job where you're wheeling and dealing. Being, okay, a used car salesman in the typical sense. You know, I guess you could be a used car salesman, but you'd have to have your own lot because being honest with your customers and being fair, that would get you fired from a typical used car position. But listen, your job is no longer about profit. It's not about promotion, and it's about ministry, it's about people, it's about helping them, it's about serving them, it's about lifting their, sometimes it's about just making them smile. You know, if your job is ministry, it's about people, loving and serving others. There's another area of ministry that we need to have. We need to have a ministry in the context of our home. We need to see our job as ministry. We need to make our job ministry, serving others. If I could use Brother Jeremy as an illustration, you know, a handyman, and it's about helping people. And no doubt there are times that you've gotten into a project, and there's additional expense and other repairs that need to be made, and you go back, you talk to them. You don't just cover it up. You know, you talk to them. You explain to them what's going on. If without too much sacrifice, you can. You know, you can fix it and take care of it. You do because you're serving others. It's not about making money. And we need to see our job in the context of ministry. We need to make our job a ministry. And then the third area is ministry in the church. You know, this is where we typically think of ministry because of the terms. You know, children's ministry, music ministry, youth ministry. Okay, but again, we're asking ourselves, we want to be able to answer the question, what is my ministry? What is my ministry? Where do you serve? You see, there is a position, there is a place to serve for every member of the Allen Baptist Church. And we're not a big church, we don't have a great variety of jobs, but listen, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. You know, by the way, there's even positions of ministry for folks that aren't members of the church. You know, you can make it your job to come into church, look for somebody that's sitting by themselves, or look for somebody that maybe is just a little bit downcast, and you sit by them and you make it your ministry to encourage them. To welcome folks to come to the Allen Baptist Church, and instead of just plopping down in your seat, find someone and minister to them. Now, if you've been here for any length of time, you know this. I'm not a good organizer and administrator. I want to be a good preacher. I feel I fail in that area. But and listen, I'm not making excuses. I'm just being honest. But you know, there's a place to serve, and I'm not good at taking people and plugging them into jobs. But listen, as a church, let me tell you, we need help. You know, we need help in the nursery. We need help with our music. We need your ministry. You know, we need help with our children's ministry. We need our help with our Sunday children's ministry, with our Wednesday children's ministry. We need help with we need a teen discipleship class. We need ushers. We need greeters. We'll soon, as they open back up, we'll need help with preaching at the nursing homes. This fall, Lord willing, we're going to need help tutoring school children. Listen, if there's something around here that you would like to do, that you would like to make your ministry, man, jump in. Talk to me. Talk to one of our fellows. We need your help. You know, there is ministry for each and every single child of God. You know, I thought about this. And how important is church ministry? How important is church ministry? You know, when Paul was writing to Timothy, Paul explained this. Paul told Timothy, he said, listen, if they do not minister to others, he said, don't even consider them as a part of the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, and this was again in the days before Social Security and everybody got a check, okay? The church had the responsibility to care for their own widows. Oh, and by the way, let me say this, we still do have that responsibility. Okay, you know, there's, and you know, again, we're in a very different situation, and our government has taken the responsibility upon themselves. But again, the Bible gives us as the church that responsibility. But Paul told Timothy, he said, listen, if there is a widow that has not been ministering to the saints, he said, listen. Their indigence is not the church's responsibility. If they're going to be taken on and supported by the church, the church is only obligated if they are ministering to others. You see, this ministry, fourfold ministry, we need to have a ministry in our family. We need to have our job. We need to see our job as a ministry. We need to minister in the context of the body of Christ, ministering one to another. And the last one I want to mention tonight is ministry in the community. How do you minister outside the church? How do you minister to those that aren't necessarily believers? You know, where do you give of yourself to meet the needs of people? And I understand for some it will be in the context of their profession. You know, growing up, my dad was an auto mechanic, a professional auto mechanic, and seemed every week he was spending evenings after supper outside. You know, someone in the church couldn't afford to take their car to the shop, and they would bring it to Chuck, and Chuck would fix their car, and just serve. You know, there are people all around us. You know, as we read in Matthew chapter 25, you know, all you got to do is open your eyes. You know, there's people all around us that need to be served. And they're neighbors. You know, there's a lady that called the church this last week. And there's an elderly man in Allen that he's in his 90s. And she's terrified he's going to go out there and try to cut his grass and wants to get some help keeping his grass cut. And I'm going to get to do it when I can. But, and there are people around us that, you know, if we would meet them and talk to them and learn of their needs, there are places and opportunities to serve. You know, for me, a big opportunity to serve in the community is it was being a foster parent, and of course, so many other ways to so many other needs within the community. Opportunities to advocate for these children, and the CASA program that thrives on volunteers and other big sister, big brother types of programs. Listen, ask yourself. You need to be able to answer that question. What is my ministry? What is your ministry in the home? What is your ministry in the community? What is your ministry inside the church of Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. I want to finish with one last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Turn there with me, would you please? As Paul was closing out this epistle to the church at Corinth, he had many things to share and even some rather hard things. But as he finished, I want us to see this word of praise. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15. Paul writes, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. May that be said about the members of the Allen Baptist Church. Addicted themselves to ministry. Addicted themselves to seeing needs and meeting those needs. Addicted themselves to serving others inside the home, in the body of Christ, in the church, and in the community. Well, may God help us to fulfill our ministry. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.